Hello, everyone. It's time to raise the roof for the fifth time, our fifth episode of this Tampa Bay Rays podcast. Evan and Gibby are back. I'm back. We have a lot of things to discuss. We haven't talked to you guys in a couple series, so we have two series to recap. A quick IL report, which is basically just saying that Oliver Drake's back. So if we want to just conclude the IL report by saying Oliver Drake's back, but we can talk a little bit about his outing today. And then a preview of a new thing, a new concept called a five-game series, because there have been so many doubleheaders this year due to a lot of things. So now the Rays will be finishing up their season series with the Orioles this year with a five-game series starting tomorrow with a doubleheader at Camden Yards, which the Rays will be at home for one, or will be the home team for one of them, but they'll be at Camden Yards for all five games. And then obviously there was a game tonight, or as we're recording this, it's the next day technically, but yesterday afternoon with the Rays and the Nationals to finish up their two-game series. Why don't we talk more currently about what happened with the Rays and Nats series, and then we can go back to what happened with the Red Sox series, because I feel like it was kind of the same concepts. So Rays played the Nats in a quick two-game series to end up their four-game season series together, obviously losing the first two games at Nats Park, winning the first game at home, and then things kind of spiraled out of control in the second game. How did we feel about this most recent series at the Trop?
I guess I'll start. So, you know, we had pretty good first day, you know, 6-1, I believe. Our pitching, they got into some dicey situations in that first game, but they were able to pitch it out and get us out of the innings, especially at the end. They had the bases loaded, and they were able to get by without letting them score. And then in the second game, our bats just went really cold. Even though we had a tying home run from Brandon Lau in the ninth inning, which was very, very hype, in the very next extra inning of that that game, there was a home run.
Two-run homer from, I think it was Luis Garcia? Is that what his name is? The youngest guy in the major leagues, which just makes me feel even that much older that there's a guy that's already more successful than me.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, he has braces. I was like, whoa, he's young.
That's disturbing.
And our bats just were kind of – I mean, we had people on base, like, all throughout that game, but we just couldn't capitalize off of that. So it was kind of frustrating in that second game, because I felt like that was definitely ours to win. So that's how I thought about that most recent series.
But yeah, yesterday's game, the first game of the series, where we won 6-1, like, Yarbrough looked really good. He looked back to his old self. Offense looked good. Six runs is always good. Kind of an easy win. Like, no wins are easy, but like, they made that look easy. And then today, I mean, got off hot. Nate Lowe with a two-out RBI double in the first inning, which was a good start to the game. But that didn't really carry over throughout the whole game, because I think we left at least 10 people on. I don't know exactly how many people, but I remember tweeting 10 people at some point. So at least 10 people. We were like 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position, which is just not acceptable. That Bilal home run was awesome. That was just a very, like, anticlimactic ending, I guess, to that game, because he hits that home run with two strikes with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. And then very next pitch, Garcia hits an absolute bomb. Like, and it's Anderson, who no one usually touched the ball on Anderson. So, but, I mean, they played well. Like, it's frustrating that we lost today, because I feel like we did enough to win. Our pitching played really well. Drake didn't play that well in his return. He gave up a two-run home run, but only two bad pitches in the whole game really cost us it. I just hope it doesn't carry over. Hopefully we kind of get that out of our minds on our way to Baltimore tomorrow. But yeah, hopefully erase that. Learn from it, but erase it from the memory, and just get it, just bounce back with two big ones tomorrow. So
yeah, I'm echoing a similar sentiment to you guys. They played really well on, I guess it would be Wednesday. It'd be Tuesday, but they played, they played really well on Tuesday. Obviously a 6-1 scoreline. Things did get dicey in the ninth inning, but they were able to get out of it, which was good. And then today they faced a starter who had a 7.99 ERA and was 0-5. And he had given up 29 earned runs in 32 innings pitched. So almost an earned run per inning. And after the first inning, they couldn't manage a run against him the rest of the game. Obviously, Drake coming in off of injury, which we'll talk about in just a second, which was really nice to see him back, but then giving up the two-run homer to Asdrubal Cabrera, who's still a baseball player, but, like, honestly, pretty washed up by now. That is true, former Ray. I mean, the Nationals just have a bunch of guys like that. I mean, Howie Kendrick's the same kind of guy. But it's just – it was really frustrating to see that. Obviously, Lau hitting the home run in the ninth inning was fantastic. I was, like, frantically trying to tweet out something about it. And then, like, literally as soon as I tweeted that out, then, like, the Luis Garcia thing popped up. So I feel like it was my fault, even though I literally have nothing to do with the game. But that's just me. That I think they – I saw, like, Juan Toribio, who's the Rays MLB.com reporter, said that this – Lau's home run was only the second time in Rays history that down to the last strike they hit a game-tying home run. Obviously, the other one being Dan Johnson in Game 162 in 2011. For those that don't remember, clearly you're not a Rays fan if you don't know Game 162 in 2011, because it's literally the most iconic game in Rays history other than Game 7 of 08 or, I don't know, that's basically the most iconic game in the team.
Probably the best Rays moment of all time is Game 162, I would say.
Yeah, that was a really good moment, but... and then literally first pitch of the 10th inning. God, that was so frustrating. And like Evan said, Anderson's usually lights out, and it's just, it was so frustrating. And then, so if we're talking about runners on base, Nate Lowe turned into like Bryce Harper when he was in Chicago a couple of years ago, and he literally just got walked the entire series. He gets walked three times in this game, two times intentionally to face Manny Margot. And, like, you would think that Manny Margot, after at least one of them, would be pissed off that they weren't pitching to him. Yet he managed to go 0-4, 0-5, or 0-5 in the game, left, like, nine guys on base, just himself, which was just really, really bad. And Margot's been one of our best hitters as of recently and tore up the Red Sox, which we'll talk about in a second. Not a good look for him. Not a good look for the team, considering that you had many opportunities in scoring position and you went 0-8, 0-9. If you want to consider the 10th inning, because I'm sure that they consider that. So not a good look. They're 4-6 in their last 10, which isn't great. They went 3-3 on the homestand. They're 5-6 in their last 11, which isn't really that good. It's been very much mediocre. And I said, in my opinion, this week was the most important week of the season because the Nationals and Orioles have given us fits. I called it the curse of the DMV because obviously DMV, Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Baltimore's in Maryland. D.C. is its own city, its own district. And it's just it's been really – I know that it was at the Trop, but it's still D.C. team. It was just really frustrating, and I'm very concerned about this weekend. But I think before this weekend, I want to quickly talk about what happened, that four-game series over the weekend against the Boston Red Sox, which the Rays split. I know that we talked about hopefully them getting a series win. They were close. They had opportunities to win in a couple games. Some guys were brought in wrong situations. Those two games in the middle, they really hit the ball well. That was kind of the first time that Lau got or Brandon got off to his played. He had gone on that really, really bad hitless streak and that slump, and then he kind of brought things back slowly, started bringing things back in the series. And obviously, I think now he's on like a 7-game hitting streak. So I think because I said that, he's probably not going to get a hit tomorrow. So thanks to me for doing that. But how did you guys feel about that series against Boston? I know that Boston's not a good team, but Boston's always been pesky at Tropicana Field. And just for reference, the Rays ended up going 3-3 against the Red Sox at Tropicana Field. And this was the fifth or sixth consecutive year that they've posted either a 500 record or a losing record. So this is the second 500 record, and then all the rest of them have been losing records against the Red Sox at home. So that's not that great of a thing. But how did you guys feel about that series?
You can go first.
I mean, it definitely didn't do what we needed to do. I said before the series, I said we have to win 3 out of 4, which was looking good. We had the lead for, I feel like, a while, or I guess not, it wasn't a while, but Kevon Smith hit a go-ahead two-run bomb in the, like, fourth or fifth inning, and then the Red Sox just went out this absolutely exploded in sixth or seventh. I don't really remember, but
I think it was the sixth, because I think that's when they brought in Fairbanks.
Okay, yeah, Fairbanks. Whew, he did not – definitely his worst outing of the season. But, I mean, we – excluding the 11-1 game, we only scored 10 runs against them in three games, which against – I believe they have given up the most earned runs in the league – is not nearly enough to like, that's mediocre at best.
Yeah.
We should have scored at least 5 runs a game. I know that 11-1 run like game will like skew the averages a little bit, but like those other 3 games, sure, we won one of them, but the 2 losses, I mean, we scored 3 runs in both those games. Like, it, I think everything kind of boils down to the offense. Yeah, Fairbanks didn't do that well in the game on Sunday, but I mean, the offense didn't give him much of a cushion anyways. He still shouldn't have given up 4 runs, I think. But yeah, the offense, it really all boils down to the offense. Pitching's doing as much as they can, especially how stretched they are. But yeah, just Willie needs to get going. Meadows is atrocious right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Bilal gets going. And Mark, like you said, Margot looked completely out of it today. He looked like a bull today. But yeah, just, yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, I do want to interrupt for just a quick second. So to go over the pitching lines of that series finale. So if we're going to talk about something, I feel like we should mention Charlie Morton, because like he has not been that great this year. And I know that obviously he came off the IL, but like even to start the season didn't really look that good. 4 1/3 innings, 3 earned runs, 6 hits allowed. Fairbanks goes 2/3 of an inning, gives up a run. And then Ryan Thompson comes in for an inning, gives up 2 earned runs. I think that was the guy who Arroyo hit the home run off of, if I'm not mistaken, in the 6th inning. Because it seems like here, it looks like only one of those runs was inherited to Fairbanks, but he ended up giving 2 of them. And then the other one was charged to Morton because that was the runner that was inherited on base. And then Thompson was the one to give up the home run, I believe, to Arroyo in the 6th inning. So that's how they ended up getting those 2 runs. But it was a very interesting series, but Gibby, why don't you go?
Well, the one positive I look at in that series is that we had that all left-handed lineup. That was pretty cool, and I think I think that was the 11-1 game.
It was the 11-1 game.
So it worked. Like, you know, they could have just put out like a left-handed pitcher out there, you know, and like gotten stuff done.
I think they did. They
did at first. I think they put a righty in after that.
Yeah, and then literally after, like, one batter, they took him out, and they're like – or like, an inning. They were like, oh, whoops, and we're going to put a lefty out there.
So that was interesting. Yeah, you know, they're playing – they're like – they don't got a good record, but, I mean, they're still an okay team, you know? Like, they got good hitters. I just think it's just their bullpen that really – kills them in games, and like, you know, that should help us, but it didn't this weekend. We split the series. They're playing spoiler, you know, they don't really care. They just want to spoil our fun, you know. So it was interesting to watch. Definitely
probably some revenge on their part too.
Some revenge too. Yeah,
definitely some
they're
revenge.
Mad they're them. Mad after we
because we obliterated
them.
That was not a good not a good series for them at Fenway. Yeah. I guess my quick 2 cents on it. Honestly, like, pretty crappy series. You take out the 11-1 game, as Evan said. You scored at 11 runs in you scored as many runs in one game as you did the other 3 games of the series. So it evens out to be that you basically scored over 5 runs a game, but in reality you only scored you scored 11 in one game, and then you basically averaged 4 the other 3, which isn't great. Like, the Red Sox aren't that good. I mean, they play Paske and they have nothing to lose this year, so I'm sure that's not going to help us out when we play the Orioles, and that certainly didn't help us out when we played the Nationals, because we ended up going 1-3 against them this year. Like, as of right now, the Nationals aren't making the playoffs. I don't know if they will. I mean, I'll eat my words if they somehow go undefeated and then go on a run to the playoffs. But
that would be absurd.
That would be absurd. But right now, the Nationals aren't a playoff team. The Red Sox already got eliminated, so clearly they're not a playoff team. They literally have nothing to lose. So that didn't really help us out. And then, I mean, a 3-3 homestand isn't great. Like I said, we had, for some weird reason, we have our troubles against the Red Sox at the Trot. It's so weird. I just don't get it. Like, I think that we had a losing record against them last year and then went 8-2 at Fenway, which is just doesn't make sense, because you would think it would be the other way around.
Yeah.
So just not great. I mean, we ended up finishing, I believe, with a 7-3 record against them, because I think we were 5-1 or 4-1 going into that game, and then, or it must have been 5-1, and then obviously splitting the series. So we ended up going 7-3 against them. So right now, against divisional opponents, we're 6-4 against the 8-2 against the Yankees, 6-4 against the Blue Jays, 7-3 against the Red Sox, and right now we are 2-3 against the Orioles. So the hopes are that we can turn things around this weekend.
Is tiebreaker just head-to-head matchup?
I have no clue. Are you talking about like for winning the division?
Yeah.
I have no clue what it is.
I think it is whoever won the series.
So right now.
So if it was Blue Jays, we would take the division.
So we have the winning record against both the Blue Jays and the Yankees. But I don't believe that the Orioles are going to find a way to do something in the last, you know, to like go on some miracle run and sweep us 5-0. You know, maybe I'll eat my words there and they will sweep us 5-0. And then I'll cry in my room repeatedly for hours on end. I'm hoping that's not the case. But I think so. Before we go into kind of a thing about the Orioles, I do want to talk about the quick IL update. The only IL update that we really have other than Yandy Diaz, not necessarily fully back. Oh, and then so we have a couple of things. So Yandy Diaz is currently on the 10-day IL. I heard that he was at Port Charlotte at the alternate site taking BP, but it really wasn't trying to put as much weight on whatever leg he had his hamstring problem on. So we don't really know what's going to happen with that. I know he had some sort of a problem with that last year, or he had some sort of an injury problem. So that's pretty concerning moving forward, considering that this is the second straight year that he's had something. G-Man Choi is out for the regular season, at least with it was a hamstring problem as well, correct?
I think so.
Yep.
Yeah. So G-Man Choi is out. Our regular first baseman is now out for the season. So expect Nate Lowe to be in there for the rest of the year, or Mike Rousseau, or Lau. I mean, he could be in there because I know that he also plays a litany of positions. And then the news and, you know, the good news is that we got reliever Oliver Drake back. So we talked about Oliver Drake. He came in to the game today or yesterday, so Wednesday, against the Nationals. Unfortunately, ended up giving up a two-run homer to Asdrubal Cabrera in the sixth inning, I believe. I know it was a bullpen day.
Yeah.
Struck out a guy, walked a guy, gave up a hit, obviously the home run, threw an inning. So not the best outing that you want to have on your way back, but – for what it's worth, it's nice to have him back. It's nice to have some more depth in the bullpen, considering that we've gotten back him, we got back Anderson, we've gotten back now two of our starters in Yarbrough and Morton. So it's nice to have some sort of depth back. It was nice to see the bullpen day back. I guess it didn't work because they were 4-0 coming into this game in bullpen day games. And then I think Juan Toribio jinxed it by saying that they were 4-0, and then they ended up losing today. Some good signs, I guess, talking about yesterday's game, if we're going to talk about some guys. Ryan Sheriff threw two scoreless innings of relief, gave up one hit. Josh Fleming threw three and two. Fleming had a really good outing, and I know he's –
I like Fleming a lot.
He's a lefty, right?
He's been so solid.
He is a lefty, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Yeah, he's a lefty out of Webster University School of Education. shout out to Webster. I think
good
he's –
dictionary.
He's a very good dictionary. So they did designate Sean Gilmartin, which, if you guys don't know who Sean Gilmartin is currently married to, oh boy, we're not going to say it, but just be aware. He is married to someone who is, she's a person. That's all I'm going to say about that. But, they designated Gilmartin. I guess they DFA'd him, or they designated him to at least the, I know if it's designated, they would just DFA him, right? They wouldn't just throw him down to the alternate site.
Yeah,
I think okay.
So yeah, so or maybe they did. I don't know, but Fleming has looked really good this year, and it's a really good sign because we always find diamonds in the rough somehow. So it was nice to see Fleming do that. Let's see if we're talking about this isn't minor league stats. He's not in the minor leagues anymore. He is in the major leagues, and he's not a TikToker. He's not a TikTok star. I can guarantee that with wholehearted honesty. So he's thrown 23 innings. I don't know if they're including the game today. It doesn't seem like they are. Oh, no, they are. So he's got 3.47 ERA, 3-0, 18 strikeouts, 23 1/3 innings pitched. That's pretty good. Definitely good for a guy who really came out of nowhere. Only give it up 9 earned runs this year, 21 hits. So he's basically averaging less than a hit per inning, which is pretty good. I know he can improve on that. Obviously, anyone can improve on that. 239 opponents batting average against, which is pretty good. So it's nice to see that production out of him, and hopefully he'll turn into something. Before we get into our series preview for this weekend, let's talk a quick playoff update since it is right around the corner. Obviously, the Rays are in the thick of things right now. If we pull up the MLB.com standings, I believe they are either second or third in the AL playoff hunt in general. I know that right now, as you expected it, the Chicago White Sox, you know, just I'm sure that all of the predictions had them going crazy this year. But the currently the White Sox are atop the AL with a 32-17 record. The Rays are currently third or second right now. They have a 31-18 record. Oakland has a 31-19 record. So that's the current standings. Right now, I believe the Rays record to clinch a play or the Rays magic number to clinch a playoff spot is 4, possibly 3, depending on what's going on with this Seattle Mariners, San Francisco Giants game, because Seattle right now is the team that is just outside the playoff picture. So the more they lose, the more we get closer to a playoff spot. So let me go check that. It is currently, as of this recording, is currently 9-3 Giants in the middle of the seventh inning, bottom of the seventh inning. So hopefully if things stay as they are, the Rays magic number to clinch a playoff spot at least will be 3 going into tomorrow. Obviously with the doubleheader tomorrow, things could happen kind of crazy. And then the Rays right now have a 3-game lead over the New York Yankees, who have won 7 games in a row after completely crapping the bed, and have won 2 straight against Toronto. Let's see what happens tomorrow. I'm expecting them to probably sweep the series, but it'd be nice if Toronto won, because then that would help out our magic number for the division, which right now our number to clinch the division is 9. So that is a combination of both wins and losses. So basically, the Rays just need to find a way to just keep doing what they're doing. And if all things go well, then they'll have their first division title since 2010, which will be their third division title in franchise history. And that is something that we would all like to see happen. But I want to get some thoughts from you guys. Where are we? How are we feeling about? So based on what the team has done in recent memory, how are we feeling about what's going to shape out with this playoff push in these last, I believe it is 10 games or so or 11 games or so that the team has?
I don't know. It's so tough. Like, it's so tough with us being so cold and the Yankees being so hot. Like, the thing is, like, it really doesn't matter a whole lot if we win the division. Sure, it would be nice to get, like, bragging rights against the Yankees fans and against most experts, because a lot of experts thought the Yankees were just going to blow by everybody. They thought the Rays were going to be really good too, but I don't think many of them thought we would win the division, so it would be nice to prove them wrong. But, it really doesn't matter where we're seated, honestly, because all 8 teams are going to be really good in the playoffs. Like, we're going to have to – every series is going to be tough. Like, it's not all about seeding. It's kind of just about bragging rights. I think we do win the division, though. I think we – tomorrow might be the biggest game of this – tomorrow might be the biggest day of the season with 2 games, especially coming off of, like we all said, a mediocre homestand. But, I think we will. I don't know. That might be my heart talking about my brain, but, like – I think we will. But yeah, that's all I got.
I hope since I don't think we're going to fall into that same trap that we did earlier in the season with the Orioles. So I think we'll do all right there. At least split it. Oh, wait, can't split a 5-game series. This is weird.
No, you can just split the last game. You can just say, you know, we're just going to call it a tie. It doesn't matter. Yeah, we're just going to go home with the tie, guys.
Yeah, but I think judging by how we did last year and clinching that was a wild card spot that we got last year. Mm-hmm. But we were able to push into that and get some momentum going to there. This team, I mean, they're always fighting, always going to fight. So even if the bats are cold, you know, they're going to find a way to get it done, I think. And I think we do end up clinching this division. I'm glad we're kind of lower in that seeding now, though. You know, we're not top of the AL.
I would actually prefer top of the AL right now, because we'd be playing Cleveland instead of
Toronto. Oh, really?
Yeah. So yeah, Toronto's 7, Cleveland's 8.
So, yeah, I might want to get back up to the top there.
who the hell are the White Sox playing? Let's go anti-White Sox for the rest of the podcast.
They're playing the Twins right now.
Oh.
Yeah, they lost today 5-1, so.
That'll be a good series.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a very good season.
Bet on the White Sox today. G Little let me down, but whatever.
That's fine. So I'm trying to think. I guess from my perspective, God, I want them to win the division so badly, because they haven't won the division in forever. I mean, it's been a decade, so it'd be nice if they won the division.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm just like, our magic number is 9, so that's like, it's like we're getting down to the lower. I mean, we're in single digits now. So they can't stay 500, because I don't know how good the Yankees are going to be toward the end of the year, and they got back Judge, and they're getting back guys that are going to be healthy. So they're kind of getting into that form right now, and we're catching it at the end. So I don't know. I don't know if they're playing. Oh, this is going to be interesting. So if we're looking at the Yankees' last few games of the season, they have a game against the Blue Jays tomorrow at 7. They have three against the Red Sox that are going to be, I believe, at Fenway. Then they have a four-game series against the Blue Jays in Buffalo, which could help us out.
That's a tough way to end the season. What, five? You said four games at the end of the season against the Blue Jays?
Yeah, four games in Buffalo.
And then playing in Fenway against a team that, hell yeah, they would want to spoil the Yankees' chance of winning the AL East. I mean, that's
and then
the biggest rival in baseball. So,
but just to make it better, they have three games to finish the season off against who else? The Miami Marlins.
Let's go, baby.
I'm telling you.
The
Marlins are out for blood. They're 25-22, I think I saw, and they're in second. The Marlins wanted, like, they're out for blood.
I like them a lot. Their team is, like, if I had an NL team per se, I would 100% be on the Marlins.
I swear to God, if the Marlins won this year, I would be done with baseball, but, like,
unreal.
They win. I mean, both of their World Series wins are wild card spot wins.
That's
so.
The only – so they have six – so I've done this. The Marlins are literally one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball history in terms of winning percentage. They have more wins than us, but, like, not by many because in the 2010s we've done – like, since we became the Rays, we've been godlike compared to when we were the team formerly known as the other team that we were known as.
The Marlins have been around for
– the Marlins have been around for 5 years. Long. Yeah, 5 years more than we have.
Oh, that's it.
But, yeah. So they have – so since 2008, we've had 9 winning seasons. They've had 6 in their entire franchise history.
Jeez. And they have 2 World Series.
And they have 2 World Series, which is the only 2 times in their franchise history that they've won over 90 games. And I believe it was they won 90 on the dot, and then they won like 91 or 92.
Well, hey, good for them. They take advantage of when they're good. When they're good, and they take advantage of it. So
they just anger me because Jeffrey Loria just angers me as a human being. But that's another story.
I would love to see Sixto and Cole go at it on the final game of the season.
That I would pay money to see.
AL East on the line. Sixto comes through 100%. My guy Sixto.
Yankees ownership's gonna call up Derek Jeter, and they're gonna tell him to throw the game. He's gonna do it.
You know that like Sixto's put on like 70 pounds or something. Like Sixto's a beefy boy, but he throws gas.
I want Sixto on the. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I want Sixto on the Rays so badly. I love
Sixto. Sixto to Tampa.
Not only that, he's a stud. His name is Sixto. Like that.
That's a good. Honestly, that's a good reason.
I would get a Sixto jersey in a millisecond after we traded for
him. So. I'm trying to think. So the Yankees schedule is actually a lot tough. So ours is the Orioles for 5 games, then the Mets, and then the Phillies. So if we're going by teams, we have the Orioles who are going to play spoiler and have a much better team than a lot of people think, a team with a really bad bullpen, and then another team with a really bad bullpen.
But the Phillies and Mets are both playing for something though, aren't they?
Yeah, but the Phillies just played the Mets and they blew a lead against the Mets. And we're not playing at Citizens Bank Park, so we don't have to deal with the Fandemic Crew, which is that like group of people that are outside the stadium that are like I don't know if you guys have seen it, but like there's this group of Phillies fans that literally stand outside the gates in center field and they have like air horns that they like sound off during games. And when the Yankees came to Philadelphia, Aaron Boone got so pissed off by them that he started complaining to the umpire, but they literally can't do anything because they were outside the stadium. So like they're not under the jurisdiction. And it's just great because like it's actually like fun to see fans, but it's just like the funniest thing because they're just like looking over the fence to like see nothing. But like expect something to happen, and then they just have like a bunch of different air horns that they're just sounding off for games. So shout out to the Fandemic Crew. This will be the one shout out to the Fandemic Crew this season.
And we don't go to City Field either, do we?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not. I can neither confirm nor deny. I will check the Mets. I'm just gonna do this quickly. Go to the Mets. Mets. Oh, the Mets beat the Phillies today.
They did.
Yep. 5-4. It is. Let's confirm this. It's at City Field.
Oh, it is away.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like it'll be road home to end the season. It'll be 8 games on the road, 3 games at home.
a lot, though.
One fake game at home because it'll be at Camden Yards.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't support that. I think we should have just played that doubleheader here. You know, so we could.
I support that. Play the doubleheader here.
Yeah.
Just screw the Orioles. Just doubleheader at the Trop.
Yeah,
my basement because I'm playing here. So like you guys can, I mean, we can like fit a stadium here. We got some room. Like low ceiling, so like I'm sure it'll work with the Trop because they got catwalks. But I mean,
what's
like,
what's the capacity?
Like six.
You can get a bullpen in there.
And once again, it's gonna hurt with the Rays being so close. Yet can't go to the game.
That's gonna be frustrating. I'm sure for Evan, it's gonna be frustrating.
Yeah.
But
two series in Baltimore than one against the Nats, and I can't go to any of them.
NFL games are having fans now.
Yeah.
Well, there's only two of them. It's one of them is literally Jacksonville.
I know. One of them is going to be Tampa, too. Tampa's going to have them, too.
Of course. Like, I'm just like, you know, of course, Jacksonville. Like, I think since we were talking about the Orioles, why don't we finish this up by talking about our final series preview against the Orioles this season. So the Rays have a 5-game series against the Orioles starting tomorrow with a doubleheader that's 7-inning doubleheader that's starting at 4:35. And then I believe another game that's starting at 7. And then we should have 3 normal games Friday, Saturday, Sunday. How are you guys feeling? I can go look up probables, but how are you guys feeling about this series and the totality of what's going to happen against the Orioles? Because we all know how we feel about what the heck happens at that beautiful place that we call Camden Yards.
Yeah, I just hope Kevin Kiermaier makes his defensive plays, you know, doesn't screw the pooch like he has at that stadium.
Well,
like,
he has made one of the greatest catches of all time there. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, he has, but not this season.
Not this. That's
really. And Willie, too. Willie was atrocious that one season, but yeah. Or that
one season. Not good. So I guess so. I will brief you guys. Probables that I know of for this. Literally, we have 2 probables. So in game one, it's going to be – I can't see it, but Blake Snell was going to be game one. And then I believe – not game two, but the Friday night game is going – so Kremer? Who's Kremer? Oh, they made like a Kramer joke. About this dude, I don't know where he's from with the Orioles, but his last name's Kremer, and they're like, "Oh, it's a Seinfeld joke because like his name's almost Kramer." I mean, I'm gonna regret that. He's probably gonna just like shove and throw like 7 innings, and I'm just gonna.
Is that what they get excited about?
Yeah, that's what they get excited about in Baltimore.
He's throwing a no-hitter tomorrow.
Yeah, this is guaranteed. He's throwing a no-hitter, but just to make sure that I get this right about whom this man's is. Basically, so Blake Snell's pitching tomorrow, and then Tyler Glasnow will be pitching on Friday, from what I know. Dean Kremer, or Kramer, I don't know. I'm just going to say Kremer, but I'm going to be corrected here. So he's thrown 11 innings, 14 strikeouts, 2 games pitched, 1.64 ERA. Came out of UNLV, so shout out to UNLV. 2 earned runs, 5 hits allowed. Wow. 1.135 opponent batting average. So obviously small – Small sample size, almost a 2-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio. So that's beneficial for the Rays that he's given up more walks than hits allowed. Again, small sample size, but how do we feel? So he's a righty, so that means that we might throw out some lefties over the weekend. But with that in mind, are you guys – so I know that I just kind of interrupted everything, but are we confident?
I'm nervous. I think today – I really hope we don't take today's loss hard. I hope Cash kind of gave him a good message in the locker room after, just because how kind of – it wasn't, like, heartbreaking per se because we didn't really lose the lead, but it was just such a kind of pumped-up moment right there when Lau tied it. He knew it off the bat, and we had all the momentum, and then we lose it about 5 minutes later. On the
next inning. Probably, like 2 minutes later.
It's – that just – I feel like it could be very deflating. Like I said, even though we never had the lead, but it kind of felt like we did, could be deflating. I hope it isn't. But I think the key to this weekend is starting pitching. Starters have to go far. Coming off a bullpen day today and then doubleheader tomorrow, like, our bullpen's going to be taxed. We have no days off until maybe Monday, maybe not even until the next Thursday.
Luckily, so, they both are 7-inning games. So, like, if Snell shoves and then whoever the guy is in game two shoves and we can get some good innings out of them. We only have to use about, you know, like one or two relievers if they go six innings.
But yeah, starting pitching, making them – each guy needs to go like maybe at least six innings just to lessen the burden on the bullpen. And then situational hitting. That's like – which we didn't do today. Margot couldn't get a hit to save his life. But, yeah, just get hits with runners in scoring position, take advantage of the men on base, and let's go take the series.
Yeah, it's definitely time to come alive going into the postseason. We really got to get our hitting together and make sure our pitchers are throwing gas again, like what Evan said. Yeah, that's about it for me, you know. I think we'll do good this series, hopefully.
I'm going to make we have to – there's like – this is the most important series of the season, and we have to win the series, and we have to dominate when I say win the series. So that just doesn't mean, you know, full house, take three out of five. We're talking like they need to dominate, because these last 11 games, while they might look easy, are going to be a lot tougher than they think. I know that the Yankees have a tough schedule, though the Yankees are on a roll right now. You cannot discount any of those teams that they're playing, especially the Blue Jays in Buffalo. The Blue Jays in Buffalo is a completely different thing than the Blue Jays in Toronto, because the Blue Jays in Buffalo, the ball doesn't carry in Buffalo. It's Buffalo, and you're outside. Mm-hmm. So you don't have the launch pad that's Rogers Center anymore. You don't have the home field advantage, because not even the Blue Jays know where the hell they are. And it's just a whole different vibe. Like, it's a AAA stadium that was converted into a Major League stadium basically for this year. And with that in mind, knowing that they are going to be playing there, the Yankees are going to be playing there soon, the Rays really need to take advantage of this series, because eight of their last 11 games are on the road, though one is considered a faux home game. They need to win the doubleheader tomorrow. If they win the doubleheader tomorrow, that puts them in prime position for the rest of the series. And the fact that they're only seven inning games could help them or could hurt them if they get off to a bad start. I'm hoping it's the first thing, not the latter. And then the rest of the weekend, Glasnow needs to pitch like he's pitched before. If Morton's out there, he needs to pitch like Morton of 2019. Yarbrough needs to come out and give the quality starts that he'd given before. If Fleming's out there, Fleming needs to pitch like he's pitched before. We need consistency from hitting. We need guys that haven't shown up to show up. We need Lau to continue what he's been doing. We need Arozarena to come back and do stuff. We need Brasseau to come back and do stuff. We need Margot to be what he's been doing. We need Nate Lowe to perform like he has performed, and he's performed really, really well in the absence of G-Man Choi. And he needs to continue to do that, because he's got eight games to prove himself, because honestly, there's a battle right now. And Nate Lowe was a god in AAA and in the minors. So if Nate Lowe is supposed to be this god, then he should actually play like that. And it's just we need to win. This is a must-win series. They can't just take the foot off the gas and just play like crap. Like, this is – the Orioles aren't in playoff position anymore for the most part. I doubt that they're going to make a playoff run. If they do, it'll be literally a miracle, because they're basically out in terms of their losses. And while the Yankees and Blue Jays are beating up on each other, we need to take the initiative, because we're not playing them anymore, and we need to just absolutely shove for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Simply put. So
go get them.
Yeah. So hopefully that'll happen. Thank you to everyone. So I think that pretty much wraps everything up. Thank you to everyone for listening. We are now officially on Apple Podcasts. So if you guys want to listen to us, just look up Raise the Roof on Apple Podcasts. That's RAYS the Roof, because we're cool and I came up with a cool name. listen to us on Spotify. What?
We like to play on words.
Yeah, play on words. Although the sports journalists love the play on words.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but the two big things right now are Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're also on Anchor. I believe we're on Breaker and a couple of other ones. You guys can check that. We'll put links in the description of this episode. We'll hopefully get this out by noon before the first game of the doubleheader. And then we're going to try to do a couple episodes this weekend. So we're going to try to hit one on Friday after Friday's game, and then try to hit one on Sunday after the series finale, hopefully, depending on how things go. And then, you know, for the rest of the season, we got six more games left, and we're just going to see what happens. But, yeah, thanks, everyone, for listening. Stay safe, stay healthy. Please wear a mask and raise up.
Raise up, baby. That's
raise cool. up, baby.